Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the old Idaho Penitentiary in Boise, Idaho. Penitentiaries and jails seem to be a likely place where you'll find hauntings and paranormal activity. The old Idaho Penitentiary is no exception. It was built in 1870 while Idaho was still a territory, and it served as a prison for 101 years. It's seen its share of scandals, escapes, riots, and executions. It's believed that one of those prisoners who was executed, Raymond Snowden, is still there. Staff and visitors have claimed to have heard voices, been physically touched, or experienced a strange feeling on the property. On this episode of The Grave Talks, a conversation about the history and the hauntings of the old Idaho Penitentiary with Visitor Services Coordinator J.C. Brain. You are the Visitor Services Coordinator there?
So yeah, so I'm the Visitor Services Coordinator in full. We only have a small team here, just a couple of full-time positions, an administrator and then an events and rentals coordinator. I work with our staff and volunteers, our front-end visitor services, our gift shop, all that good stuff, as well as scheduling and training volunteers, tour guides, and staff members. And so I have given a lot of tours, trained a lot of people on tours, developed some of our exhibits and education programs, kind of done a little bit of everything out here.
So let's talk about the building itself. I was looking at pictures of it, and I can't really wrap my brain around what exactly I'm looking at, because it kind of in places, it looks like almost like a castle.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely multiple buildings. So I'm going to let you describe what it is.
It is absolutely a castle. It is meant to look like a little bit of a fortress. There is an administration building that has, you know, castle-like spires above it, and is meant to be a sort of an intimidating entrance. And then it connects to a wall that goes all the way around the site. And that wall has 4 corners, 4 guard towers with turrets. And then inside that wall is the main yard where all of the prison buildings that are still with us are located. And those are the buildings that generally people can visit and explore and check out exhibits within. The site was actually a lot larger when it was in operation. Around us, there were outbuildings, there was a second prison yard, and farming areas, you know, chicken coops and all that good stuff. And then, of course, after the prison closed in 1973, we leased some of that land to the Idaho Botanical Garden. And so there's actually a lot of other things to do around the site now. Now we mainly focus on what's in this main courtyard.
And now this building was, the prison was in operation from 1872 to 1973, so 101 years. So
that's
this
correct.
Was a very, very old building.
Yeah, the very first building on site started housing prisoners in 1872. We call that the territorial prison, later became the chapel. We call it the territorial prison, of course, because Idaho was the Idaho Territory at that point. Idaho didn't become a state until 1890. It wasn't until after 1890 that we started calling this site the Idaho State Penitentiary. It was in operation until all the way until December of 1973. So the way I like to give people a perspective on this is by noting that, you know, we were here, this site was here from the Wild West days, the gold rush years that necessitated having a prison out here, to the social changes of the 1960s and 70s, of course. So not only did that, you know, change the nature of justice, but it also, the site was able to reflect the times for over, you know, 10 decades.
And what's, when you think about it, when it was built, so there was an original building, and then as they needed more cells, they were getting more inmates, they needed to expand. So right. It ended up being how many buildings total?
You know, gosh, there were, I may have you cut that one because I'm not sure what
that. Okay, I'm not going to do
total
that one.
Number of is.
I'm going to ask you another question.
There were so many just around the place. Anyway.
So originally there was the one territorial prison, and then as needed, obviously it expanded. But the prison itself, you know, when you think about Idaho being a territory, it wasn't like there was, you know, all the amenities we have now, like air conditioning or heat or correct, proper sewage, I would assume.
That is correct. The first cell house to have indoor plumbing was established in 1926. So, you know, we're looking at a good half of the prison's lifetime. They used honey buckets. They used buckets for the prisoners to relieve themselves. And the site never had air conditioners. They had radiators in most of the buildings. And this whole area was heated via geothermal heat. There's a street that leads right up to the prison called Warm Springs. And that name comes from the fact that it comes from the natural hot water that heated this area.
Oh, that's interesting.
So the first bath here was a geothermal plunge bath. Also not the most sanitary
thing.
Not the most sanitary conditions for bathing. Later they had showers. But yeah, you're not only in out in the desert outside of town, but you're also very much without most of the modern conveniences. A lot of that had to do with the time. A lot of it had to do with the fact that this was a prison, right? Mm-hmm. And so the solitary confinement houses, if anyone ever gets a chance to come out here and visit, I definitely recommend checking out Siberia and the Cooler. That gives you a really great glimpse into how that system worked, because they had a hole in the floor that led down to the sewer, and then they had a hole at the top, which was for natural light to get through. They weren't allowed to have any other personal items in there with them other than the clothes that they wore in there and one blanket in the summer, two blankets in the wintertime. So they would use that hole to use the restroom and then use that skylight. A lot of times they would take their clothing and they would either block that skylight, or they would clog the sewer drain in order to flood their cell to get some sort of cool water.
Well, when you think about it, you know, it doesn't matter what time of year it would be. There's no ventilation, really.
Right.
And they're in solitary confinement with very little light. You would go crazy.
And people did. Yes. You know, that did happen.
And I do want to circle back to that, because I've heard that it is a hot spot for activity, that area.
Absolutely. If someone visits the site and is interested in the potential paranormal activity of the site, we always recommend that they check out the Solitary Confinement Complex.
And so I want to circle back in a few minutes and talk about maybe some things you've heard or maybe have experienced yourself. And there was thousands of people held prisoner over that 100 years.
Correct. 13,000, most of which were men. There were only 217 women incarcerated here. And that was mainly reflective of Idaho demographics, but also how justice was lensed, you know, at the time, mm-hmm. you know, just generally pre-modern justice systems. Women were just given a lot more leniency.
Well, because they were delicate. And so,
right, exactly. You know. They're, you know, prison was, you know, not only were they not capable of the crimes, they were also too delicate for prison. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is, you know, men were given much harsher sentences for things like murder and manslaughter, of course, than, you know, if a woman committed something like that. But, you know, women received much harsher sentences for the morality crimes. Adultery is still a crime in Idaho. And that was, there were a lot of people on the books for that when the site was open. And so, of course, women would get more time for things like adultery than a man would.
Right, because for a man, we can look the other way. But for a woman, that's a crime.
And then, you know, you go into these individual stories. And of course, there is always so much to unpack there, you know, whether it's an abusive ex-husband or separation that didn't go through fully, whatever, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the root is.
You know, any prison, especially that's very old, is going to have some really dark energy in there when you think about what happened behind the walls. You know, it was a pretty brutal way to live. And, you know, especially when we talk about solitary confinement. But this prison has some interesting, like there was some riots. I want to talk about mm-hmm. them. Some escapes. There was some scandals and also executions at that prison.
All of the above. Yeah, this was the state penitentiary. It was, apart from county jails, this housed, you know, all of Idaho's major characters and stories, right? The more well-known criminals.
So I do want to talk about a few of those criminals that were housed there. So let's start with Harry Orchard.
Yeah, Harry Orchard was a hired assassin, and this was the turn of the century. We're just moving into the 1900s. Harry Orchard is allegedly hired by a timber boss named Big Bill Haywood, who has a longstanding feud with former Idaho governor Frank Stunenberg. Harry Orchard plants a bomb at the governor's gate going into his house. And when he opens the gate, the bomb explodes and kills the governor. And so, of course, you know, this is major news here in Idaho, and Harry Orchard's captured for committing this crime and implicates Big Bill Haywood of hiring him to plant this bomb due to the governor's, you know, anti-union stance and his work against labor unions. And so it becomes one of many trials known as the Trial of the Century. It's Idaho's Trial of the Century, right? There's a ton of media attention surrounding it. Ultimately, Harry Orchard is given the death penalty, but then that death penalty is commuted to a life sentence due to his naming of other people, right? And Haywood is eventually found not guilty. He had very good representation, Clarence Darrow of the Scopes Monkey Trial fame. Harry Orchard is given a life sentence here at the prison, ends up serving 46 years, more time than anyone else. And anyone else who served time here, if someone asks who was here the longest, it's Harry Orchard, 46 years. And eventually, you know, this is a man who really settles in. The money he has, he donates to the prison for use in establishing facilities and construction of new facilities. The number 3 cell house here was partially funded by him. So later in life, he's actually given a little shack right outside the prison walls where he lives alone and grows strawberries and raises chickens for the prison farms here, or for the prison kitchens here, I'm sorry. And then eventually just passes away in the hospital here at the site.
That's so interesting. So he just made that his home.
He did. Being given a life sentence for such a high profile crime, he essentially settles.
And where would he have gone after getting out of prison? You know, he probably, yeah. Family is gone after 46 years. No friends on the outside, probably.
Yeah. He was living in the Idaho Hotel downtown Boise, you know, when he had committed this crime. So, yeah, no, you're exactly right.
Do they feel like he's still on the property? Because he just seems like someone who would be, because he's so connected.
Right. Especially the fact that he passed away in the hospital here on site.
And such a strong connection to the place. You know, that's right. Where he chose to live out his life after his sentence was over.
Yeah. And that he, you know, contributed personal resources to it. And, yeah. You know, it just became his home. He could have picked anywhere to live in the world. That's where he would have chosen. But that's what he did.
And what about Lyda Southard? So when we talk about women committing crimes, and, you know, you're talking about different kind of crimes than Lyda. And would you refer to her as a serial killer, maybe?
I often do.
Because she definitely, it fits the criteria.
You know, being historians, we're, of course, careful with terminology and with using nicknames and things like that. Like when we talk about Raymond Snowden, a lot of people refer to him as Idaho's Jack the Ripper. And it's like, you know, he's not quite that prolific. But with Lyda Southard, yeah, she is an early known female serial killer. If you look up good comprehensive books on women serial killers, she's usually in there.
And she murdered husbands, a child, maybe
a brother-in-law.
Yeah. And do they think it was for monetary gain?
Exactly. Yeah, because she had collected life insurance policies. So that's very much the assumed motivation. What she did, because this was a fifth husband that she was arrested for the murder of. She had bought fly paper, boiled that fly paper, and used the liquid containing arsenic to bake into a pie that this man ate, passed away. She collected the insurance on him, and then he had, and then the husband previous had a brother who became suspicious and asked that the body of that person be exhumed. And they found the same poisoning in his system. Then looking back in Lyda's personal history, noting that she had a string of husbands, as well as an infant child, that had all died under mysterious circumstances like the flu. She is widely considered to be one of the earlier prolific female serial killers. A lot of that comes from post-incarceration stories too. She actually remember we were talking about women receiving more lenient sentences. She was only given a 12-year sentence for second degree murder. And she escaped for over a year while she was incarcerated here. And following the newspaper trail of folks searching for her is fascinating, because this was prohibition era. And while they were, you know, combing through the state to try to find her, they uncovered so many illegal liquor stills. But they finally found that she had remarried, changed her name, and that the husband who she remarried in this time that she had was on the run disappeared, and they never figured out what happened to this guy. It's a complete mystery. And so they brought her back. They had her finish out her sentence. And according to the lore, the guards as they were seeing her off when she was finally released, she turned around and said, you know, I'll come visit me boys sometime. I'll bake you some pie.
No.
Yeah.
Talk about giving them all the finger as she left.
Right.
She basically threatened them with death.
Yep. She eventually remarries once more. And, but during this time, she passes away while running errands, dies essentially suddenly while she's walking down the street.
Man, she can kill that many people and end up dying just walking down the street running errands.
Exactly.
Now, the one that I've read, there's definitely reports that they think he is still there, is Raymond Snowden.
Right.
Idaho's Jack the Ripper reference, that was in reference to him. And what did he do?
Yeah, he is often called that. And as you mentioned earlier, there were executions on site. There were around 130 deaths that we've totaled as having occurred here on site. So that includes causes from natural death or illness. That includes murder, suicide, disease. It includes the 10 people who were executed here. And all 10 were men. All 10 were first-degree murder charges. All 10 were done by hanging. Yeah, this site had gallows built for each of these executions. Raymond Snowden is best known because his gallows is still on site. In 1954, they built the last of the cell house blocks here on site, the maximum security building. We call it Five House. And Raymond Snowden is the only person who that gallows constructed as a permanent gallows in maximum security in Five House is used for. And that's because, you know, this execution happens in 1957. The U.S. puts a halt on the death penalty. Coincidentally, around that time, that lasts until after the prison closes. So for most of the earlier executions, they would build a wood gallows out front and they'd tear it down after, right? Well, not out front in the yard, but out of the cell houses. And, you know, his gallows ended up being one-time use just like the others, and it's still here on site. So that's why his story is so often told, so well-known, because most all of our guided tours include a visit to that gallows, right? And so typically we tell that story when we're providing a guided tour of the site. So you go upstairs in maximum security and then visit death row. And then Raymond Snowden's cell is the farthest one closest to the door that allows entry into the gallows.
So were they built to where prisoners would go out and exercise? Were they right there?
It wasn't where the exercise yard is, per se. It was in a different part of the site. But yeah, they did. They would construct a wooden gallows for those earlier executions, complete the deed, and usually remove it because, you know, we're talking only 10 executions in a 101 year span. So they didn't have a gallows on site at all times. The very first execution had a large public viewing. And after that was done, the powers that be decided that, you know, that wasn't optimal. That wasn't something necessarily one we wanted to encourage. And so usually after that, they would do these executions in the middle of the night. They'd wrap a muslin sheet around it, try to have as little fuss as possible until they started to do them indoors to further prevent the public viewing. But six of the executions took place in the corner rose garden here. And that was located right outside of the original death row. So positioning meant that the prisoners who were in death row would have a view of gallows construction from their cell block.
Wow. And they got to live with that reminder every day.
Right.
Now, Raymond Snowden, did he kill one woman or do they suspect he killed multiple women?
They suspect he killed multiple women. He essentially told them that he had killed multiple women, but he was only given his death sentence for the one murder, the murder of Cora Dean. And so Raymond Snowden's one of 10 siblings, and growing up and has a wild backstory, and I'll go into that in a little bit, but we'll start kind of with the night of the murder. He is in Garden City, and Garden City is city adjacent to Boise here, where, you know, at that point was mostly known for bars and for lower end entertainment, right? And he is down there with a friend who says that his estranged partner, they say ex-wife, but they weren't formally married, is in town, and Raymond's hoping to be able to meet up with her and talk to her. And he and his friend never are able to find his ex-wife, but he does meet a woman named Cora Dean, and the two of them have several drinks together and hit it off pretty well. At one point, they're outside of this bar and discuss taking the night further. Raymond, you know, wants to take her home, and she rebuffs his advances. And so he decides he's just going to get a cab to downtown Boise. And then she wants to share that cab also to go to downtown Boise. But according to Raymond's story, she doesn't want to share the cab fare. And so this is where Raymond's backstory comes into play, right? Because he has major anger issues. He, despite coming from a large family, he's the only child that his parents sent to a children's home because they weren't sure, you know, how to best handle him. And then he serves time in the military, but he is given a dishonorable discharge for punching his commanding officer. In addition, has some allegations of abuse from women throughout his life. And so with Cora Dean rebuffing his advances, he becomes angry, and she knees him in the groin, and he essentially gives her an ultimatum that either, you know, you're coming with me or I'm gonna kill you. And he ends up pulling out a knife that he has, and he stabs her 30 times. And then there is some cannibalism
involved. Oh no.
So they find,
oh my God,
this kid who is collecting bottles, you know, glass bottles for recycle money, finds Cora Dean's body with 30 stab wounds and mutilated. Meanwhile, Raymond is downtown Boise. He's tried to dispose of Cora Dean's identification and his own clothing and identification by flushing things down toilets, and is eventually found because the guy who ended up giving him a ride to downtown Boise speaks up and is like, oh, I picked up this guy from that area. And so they're able to apprehend Raymond Snowden. And at first he doesn't confess, but after spending quite a bit of time in custody, he finally does confess. And through his defense, he argues that he, you know, had an unsupportive childhood and just was never given any love, compassion, or support, right? And so he is ultimately given the death penalty. It's argued by many that, you know, a different representation probably could have gotten him, you know, an insanity plea, right? But he's given a death penalty for this murder. And, you know, an interesting thing about this timeline and this crime is that it's 13 months in between the crime and the execution. This murder occurs in September 1956, and he's executed in October 1957, just 13 months after the crime. So that's like the trial.
Hear that now,
right? Exactly,
because there's so many appeals, especially for death row inmates.
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's unheard of, and nonetheless, his time on death row spawned lore as well. There's folks that have said that, you know, he would be brought raw onions to eat. One thing we do know is that he did a lot of crossword puzzles. He would pretty much only talk to the chaplain. The chaplain visited him quite a bit. And then he would do a lot of crossword puzzles, and he ended up making his own crossword puzzles to a disturbing effect. The night of his execution rolls around, and they have not used this gallows before. They've tested it. At one point, they tried dropping the door of the gallows, and it slammed so hard against the wood floor that it broke the glass viewing window. And so when they hanged Raymond, they had put a mesh covering over it. They offered both Coradine and Raymond's families the opportunity to view the execution, and there was no acceptance of that offer. So it was just some prison staff doctors. They took a gurney, you know, think Hannibal Lecter style, right, into his cell, and they strapped him to this gurney and put a black covering over his face so that he wouldn't be able to see where he's going, and he wouldn't be able to fight. Is brought into the gallows room and set on the trap door, and they're ready to go right at the stroke of midnight. He is asked if he has any last words. He says, "I do, but I don't know how to say them." And the door, the lever's pulled so that the trap door completes that execution, but the rope does not do a clean job of snapping his neck. It takes around 15 minutes.
And so there's people that have to stay there.
Yeah. There were two different doctors who gave a time of death, and they're differing times. But it puts us about 15 minutes after.
I mean, that's really horrific. But then on the other hand, it almost seems like karma for what he did to poor Cora.
And, you know, most executions aren't clean, right? Most,
right, especially that type.
Don't take. But yes, I mean, he, by all accounts, ended the life of someone in a horribly violent way. While he's in custody, he does confess to two other murders that aren't proven that they were done by him. But because of that, and because of the mutilation of Coradine, he's given that nickname, Idaho's Jack the Ripper, that's followed him ever since. And then you're absolutely right. Because of the presence of that gallows and that death row cell, and, you know, the entire story of his demise being still present and still viewable in the maximum security building in Five House here on site, a lot of folks have had encounters in that building.
Do they think that it's Raymond?
Most people do. And most people will, you know, definitely utilize his name when they're conducting an investigation, or if they're trying to use equipment to and calling out people by name a lot of times. That's usually who people will center on.
And now, this was Five House that he was in?
Yeah, this is the maximum security building where the gallows is, correct.
And what kind of activity is reported there most frequently?
I was going to say, do you want me to give you one of my stories?
Yes, please. And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the old Idaho Penitentiary with J.C. Brain. In the next episode, find out what kind of activity J.C. has experienced, and are there spirits besides Raymond Snowden still haunting the grounds? If you'd like more information on historical tours and paranormal events, go to history.idaho.gov. You can also find them on Facebook at Old Idaho Penitentiary. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there, also all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.